All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Gurungaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 9, text 36. Etavad eva jigyasyam. Etavad eva jignasyam. Tatva jignasunatmanaha. Tatva jignasunatmanaha. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Etavadeva gigyasyam. Tatva jigyasunatmanaha. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Etavadeva jigyasam. Vaishnavis. Etavat, up to this. Eva, certainly. Jignasyam is to be inquired. Tatva, the absolute truth. Jignasuna by the student. Atmanaha of the self. Anvaya directly. Vyatirekabhyam indirectly. Yat whatever. Syat it may be. Sarvatra in all space and time. Sarvada in all circumstances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Purport. To unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and the problems of life in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life, and the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the Personality of Godhead, and here is the answer by the Lord, finished in the four nutshell verses, from Aham Eva to this verse, Etavad Eva. This is the end of all self-realization processes. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness, Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness. And as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses. The whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification. Desires based principally on sex desire, and the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all activities of the living entities is sense gratification. But here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master expert in the science of bhakti yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all of the various students of self-realization. This ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued with such serious inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji. And that is the direction given here, because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in that disciplic succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, one still requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and that is the direction in this verse. The bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord, and one must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received it from the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master in that bona fide chain of the Sipa succession never claims to be the Lord himself, although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. The Lord is not to be found simply by education or by a good, fertile brain, but surely he can be found by the sincere student through the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end, but because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole direction is targeted toward the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. But for want of a bona fide spiritual master in the line of Brahmaji, or the direct hearer, Arjuna, there are different distortions of the revealed knowledge by many unauthorized persons who just want to satisfy their own whims. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. Yet, the interpretations of this great book of knowledge have so grossly been distorted that every student of the Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. Did I read that right? Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, practically the same instruction is imparted as in the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 61, it is clearly said, Ishvara sarvabhutanam radeshe arjuna tishtati Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings as Paramatma, and he is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of his external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 65, the Lord directs as follows. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majaji mam namaskaru mammi vaishasi satyam te patijane priyosime. It is clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. Indirectly, it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as a part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. The intelligent class of men, or the brahmanas, are situated on the face of the Lord. The administrative class of men, the kshatriyas, are situated on the arms of the Lord. The productive class of men, the vaishyas, are situated on the belt of the Lord, and the laborer class of men, the sudras, are situated on the legs of the Lord. Therefore, the complete social construction is the body of the Lord, and all the parts of the body, namely the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the sudras, are meant to serve the Lord's whole body conjointly. Otherwise, the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the supreme consciousness of oneness. Universal consciousness is factually achieved by coordinated service of all concerned to the supreme personality of Godhead, and that alone can ensure total perfection. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators, the great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, etc., cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in this verse of the Bhagavatam, namely, that one must know the mystery of bhakti yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 15, it is also said, Namam duskritino mudha prapajante naradama mayaya pratyajana asuram bhavam ashrita. Because the so-called great leaders of human society are ignorant of this great knowledge of bhakti yoga and are always engaged in ignoble acts of sense gratification, bewildered by the external energy of the Lord, they are stubborn rebels against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they never agreed to surrender unto Him because they are fools, miscreants, and the lowest type of human beings. Such faithless non-believers may be highly educated in the material sense of the term, but factually, they are the greatest fools of the world because by the influence of the external material nature, all their so-called acquisition of knowledge has been made null and void. Therefore, all advancement of knowledge in the present context of things is being misused by cats and dogs fighting with one another for sense gratification, and all acquisition of knowledge in science, philosophy, fine arts, nationalism, economic development, religion, and great activities are being spoiled by being used as dresses for dead men. There is no utility in the dresses used for covering a coffin of a dead body, save getting false applause from the ignorant public. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says again and again that without attainment of the status of bhakti yoga, all the activities of human society are considered absolute failures only. It is said, Parabhavas tavat abodajato yavan na jigyasata atmatatvam yavat kriyas tavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sarira bandha. As long as one is blind to inquiring after self-realization, all material activities, however great they may be, are all different kinds of defeat because the aim of human life is not fulfilled by such unwanted and profitless activities. The function of the human body is to attain freedom from material bondage, but as long as one is fully absorbed in material activities, his mind will be overwhelmed in the whirlpool of matter, and thus he will continue to be encaged in material bodies life after life. Evam mana karma vasam prayunkte avijayatmani upadhyamane patirna yavan mai vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tavat. It is one's mind that generates different kinds of bodies for suffering different kinds of material pangs. Therefore, as long as the mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, the mind is understood to be absorbed in nescience, and thus one is sure to be subjected to material bondage in different bodies again and again until one develops a transcendental love for Godhead, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person. To become absorbed in the transcendental name, quality, form, and activities of the Supreme Person, Vasudeva, means to change the temper of the mind from matter to absolute knowledge, which leads one to the path of absolute realization and thus frees one from the bondage of material contact and encagements in different material bodies. Srila Jiva goes... Stop there. Okay. Okay. So we'll stop there. Om Aginatam Ananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, this is the most colossal purport, I believe, in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 9 pages altogether, and so many amazing points Prabhupada made here. So, just starting with the translation, Lord Krishna is speaking to Lord Brahma, and he's telling him, A person who is searching after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space, time, both directly and indirectly. So I imagine Krishna is referring to the previous statement he made, where he said, O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. So my understanding is that what Krishna is saying to Lord Brahma here, and Prabhupada's elaborating upon this in the purport, is that, Brahma, if you want to understand this stuff about me, you're going to have to be dead serious. This is some pretty deep subject matter, and it's not going to be a cakewalk. If you want to understand this most confidential knowledge, you know, about who I am and, you know, et cetera, you're really going to have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. In other words, you have to search it for it in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. You know, don't take this lightly. This is your prime objective. This is your top priority. You have to make this your top priority because this is a challenge. And so what is the success? You know, ultimately, what is the success? In the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ante kale chamam eva smaram mukva kalevaram yat prayati samat bhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. Krishna says, and whoever at the end of life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once achieves my nature. Yat nasti atra samshaya. He says, of this there is no doubt. So that's the success. If you know, for Lord Brahma or for anybody else, at the end of life, we have to be able to remember Krishna. Sometimes the time of death is referred to as the final exam, right? And if you remember Krishna at the time of death, you pass the final exam. So here's a question. When do you take a final exam? Generally, a final exam is given when you're taking a course, right? So if the time of death is the final exam, what's the course? The course is life itself. See? So in other words, our entire life is the course. So just like when you're taking a course, you're supposed to be conscientious about, you know, attending the classes and doing the homework and writing the papers and so forth, and then you're going to be prepared. Then you'll be prepared for the final exam. You won't have to do what's called an all-nighter and take all those different pills. I can't even remember the names of them now. It's been so many years. But remember that? The all-nighters, you know, you take all these drugs to stay up so you can cram and try to do good on the final exam. That's not the way to do it. That wasn't the way to do it in school. That's not the way to do it in life. We have to be, you know, conscientious about devotional service throughout our entire life. And then we're going to be prepared for that final exam. Now, one difference here is that when you're in school, you know when the final exam is going to be. But in life, you don't know when that final exam is going to be. It could be at any moment. It could be really at any moment. So we have to be prepared all the time. Like if you once again, back to that analogy, if when you're in school, if you knew that the final exam could come at any day, any day you could come and pop into the classroom and the teacher could go, hey, guess what, everybody? Today's the final exam. Well, then you'd have to be prepared all the time. So in the same way, we have to be. So that preparation is, being conscientious about our devotional service. All the activities we're doing here are the same activities they're doing in the spiritual world. You know, devotees in the spiritual world are cooking for Krishna. They're dressing Krishna. They're glorifying Krishna with love. See, and that's the most important thing. They're cooking for Krishna with love. They're dressing Krishna with love. They're, you know, trying to glorify Krishna with love. And this is sadhana bhakti. It's practice. We're supposed to be practicing the same thing. And by the practice, by performing sadhana bhakti, eventually, gradually, hopefully, we'll be elevated to the platform of raganuga bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. And how that works is this. It's actually our nature to love Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sabu kabe nai shravanadi sudha chitte kore udai. That pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity, and it's awakened by this process of sadhana bhakti, hearing and chanting being very primary activities of that. And one example,
and pardon this example, it's a bit gross, but to illustrate this point, is that Ratnabhushan and his wife, Mother Ishani, used to have a cat. And that cat was very protected. They kept it in the apartment all the time. It had no interaction with other, you know, the outside world very much. So I remember one day, I can't remember the situation exactly, but there was a mouse, and they were having problem with a mouse, maybe in somebody's apartment or something like that. So I suggested, hey, just let your cat out, you know, that'll get rid of the mouse. And Ratnabhushan was saying, no. This cat, I can't remember its name, didn't even know what a mouse is, you know. And I said, okay, let's make it, you know. And I said, no, don't worry, it'll figure it out. And they were doubtful. Both him and his wife were doubtful that cat would even know what to do. I said, don't worry, you'll see. I lived on a farm in New Zealand a bit, so I kind of, from experience, I knew what was going to happen. The cat's nature kicks in. It, at first, you know, the cat was out there, and there was the mouse out there in the parking lot, and the cat was looking at the mouse, and at first, you could see it really didn't know what the heck it was. It was just kind of like, it was bewildered. But then it took about like a minute or two, and then it just kicked in. And then the nature of the cat kicked in, and then sure enough, it went chasing after the mouse, and the mouse, you know, scurried away, fortunately. But the nature kicks in, you see? So in the same way, our nature is to love Krishna. And by doing these activities, the plan is, the idea is that we perform these activities of, you know, cooking for Krishna with love, dressing Krishna with love, glorifying Krishna with love, et cetera, et cetera, that our real nature is going to kick in, just like the real nature of that cat kicked in, you know, and it understood that's a mouse, and it knew exactly what it was supposed to do. So in the same way, by performing these activities of bhakti yoga, our real nature will kick in and we'll start to love Krishna again. Now, this, you know, love for Krishna, where does this, this whole thing, it comes from Krishna. It starts off from Krishna originally, this whole loving business. Actually, Krishna, it's stated in the, I think it's the Vedanta Sutra, Eko Bahu Sham. Krishna is one, but he expands himself into many. So why? Well, I've heard Prabhupada in several lectures explain that. Because he wants to experience loving exchanges with his parts and parcels. That's Krishna's motive. Notice Krishna's got a motive. It's not an ulterior motive. It's a good motive. His motive for expanding as the living entities, I mean, because we're eternal, but, you know, for the sake of the example, is he wants to enjoy these reciprocal loving relationships with the living entities. That's why the Vibhinamsa, the jivas, are existing. Now, it doesn't stop there. Krishna's actually he's a glutton for these loving exchanges. He's greedy. Prabhupada explains in the purport in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in chapter 31, I believe, he says, "The Lord is the supreme person, the supreme male. As a common male wants to be attracted by a female, that propensity similarly exists in the supreme personality of Godhead. He also wants to be attracted by the beautiful features of a woman." And then it goes on to explain that if he's going to be attracted to a woman, he can't be attracted to any material woman. He has to create a woman from his own energy in order to be attracted. So in other words, Krishna wants to experience loving relationships with his parts and parcels. Krishna creates a woman from his own energy, Radharani, to experience loving relationship between him and, you know, him as the supreme male and a supreme female. Krishna expands as Lord Balaram and all these Narayan expansions. Same thing. It's to have relationships. Relationships means loving exchanges. Krishna is like an addict, a love addict. He wants to experience these loving relationships, and that's why, you know, all these things are there. Now, here's an interesting question. Have you ever stopped to think? Put it in a more polite way, rather than call Krishna a love addict. Let's say that's his nature. That's Krishna's nature, that loving nature. He's hankering for these loving exchanges. Have you ever wondered why things look beautiful? Have you ever wondered why when you walk outside, and at least I find this, when you look at the sky and the trees and everything, the sun, and it looks beautiful. That's because Krishna's loving nature is actually woven into the very fabric of existence. That's my understanding. That's why things look beautiful. It's Krishna. And Prabhupada said once in a lecture, he didn't say exact those words, but he said, something to the effect that can't they understand that there's a friend behind all this? And Krishna's loving nature is woven into the very fabric of existence. And that's why things look beautiful. That's why we have those feelings. So that's our original nature. And we have to, I looked up the word, and sometimes you hear about how material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And so I was thinking, well, what pervert, what does that actually mean? So I looked up that word in the dictionary, and it means to distort or corrupt what was first intended. See, so we're existing in perverted consciousness. We're not supposed to be like not loving Krishna. That's perverted consciousness. The whole process, the whole human life is an opportunity, and the whole process is of devotional service is an opportunity to unpervert the consciousness so that we can return to that original state of loving Krishna, which is exactly what we're supposed to be doing and exactly why we exist in the first place, and that's what it's all about. Final comment. Chanaka Pandit Prabhupada quoted Chanaka Pandit, I think in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, is saying that you could take a lesson from a fool. You could take something, gold from a filthy place like that. So it was once a song by the Beatles, "All You Need Is Love." Actually, they got it right. They got it right. that's love. And it goes on to say, love is all there is. That's really what it comes down to. Krishna is just loving. He's what's the word? Brimming over the top. And that's as a result, there's the living entities, there's all his expansions, there's Radharani. Actually, Krishna did, and Krishna's good at it. Krishna's very good at loving. Krishna did such a good job with Radharani. He wanted to experience that loving relationship with a woman. He did such a good job. He loved Radharani so much, and he could see, wow, Radharani is loving me even more than I love her. So then Krishna had to take the form of Lord Chaitanya to experience that, because he wanted to experience how is it possible that Radharani seems to be loving me even more than I love her. So Krishna is very good at it. And that's, Lord Chaitanya is the proof of that. So anyway, that's all I have to say. So does anybody have anything they'd like to add to that or complain about or whatever? Yeah.
You were saying about the life is the final exam, and the preparation for that exam is life itself. And I was just thinking, so in school, you were saying how in school we know when is the final exam, but in life, we don't know. It could be at any time. So just like in school, when sometimes the teacher has a pop quiz, she tells everybody, okay, put your books away. We're going to have a pop quiz. She's trying to test their understanding just from paying attention without any preparation. So like that, in our case, the final exam could be any time, just like a pop quiz. And then you were saying how dormant love of Krishna is dormant within the heart. So I was thinking it's just like a car battery, where sometimes you have to bring another, the battery runs flat, you bring another car, you jump start it. So like that, our love for Krishna is dormant in our heart, and devotional service is like that second car that comes to jump start our dormant love for Krishna.
Yeah, I like that analogy. So that, thank you, because that ties in with what Prabhupada was saying in his purport, and I was feeling a bit guilty that I didn't kind of refer to him. He's talking about the importance of the spiritual master. And that's what the spiritual master is like, the jump start. It's like when your battery kind of goes dead, but it's not a goner. Sometimes a battery is so dead, forget it. You just got to get a new battery. But a lot of times it's just gone down a bit, and you just kind of jump start it, and off it goes again. So that's the spiritual master. You come in contact with the spiritual master, and if you're not too far gone, the spiritual master gives you that jump start, and then you're up and running again. So that's the importance of the making that contact, getting that association with a bona fide spiritual master, somebody who's actually alive in spiritual knowledge and life, that they can jumpstart you. They can get you going again. So association with advanced devotees and in general and in particular with the spiritual master is quintessential. Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class at last minute notice. Gauranga Prema was scheduled and then some circumstances occurred. He had to ask Brigapati to jump in for him. That analogy is good, but we should also remember that this is a cleansing process. It's not that love is not there and it's being injected by something. It's there. It's covered by layers and layers and layers of dirt. And by cleaning away the dirt, the gold of love of Krishna becomes revealed. However, just like when we're cleaning, we can also make things dirty again. You know, you go into your room, you can start a nice cleaning process, but then you open the window and dust comes in, or, you know, somewhere or other you can make it dirty again. So it's the same thing in bhakti yoga. You have to constantly keep cleaning. Because if you stop cleaning, then just the nature of the place where we are, this material world, it's guaranteed that you will get dirty again. It cannot remain static. It's a dynamic situation. If you're not cleaning, immediately dirt will take over again. So we have to constantly, attentively clean our hearts by the hearing and chanting process and associating with advanced devotees, beginning with the spiritual master. Otherwise, it's guaranteed that the dirt of materialism will again take over and you will become attracted to the glare of this material world.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That rounded out. More, please. Yep, Mother Cree. Oh, Amala Bhakta Maharaj. Yeah. Still got 4 minutes, so it's, go ahead. So. Yeah, Maharaj had his hand up there, so.
No, I was just considering your analogy of the kickstart, which to me did not seem appropriate for the following reason. And that is a kickstart is for a car that has been running, and then it stops. And now you give it a kickstart, and it starts running again. But a fallen devotee, as most of the people in the world are, they're never running. They're always down. They're always fallen. Therefore, no kickstart. What they needed to do is they need to wake up. And when they wake up and they become active devotional servants, and if they have a little fall, then you can have kickstart because they were up and running and they were practicing devotional service. Like all of us, I wouldn't say all of us, but many of us do have a little fall. And having a fall, we don't do all the things that we naturally would like to do or would be best in our interest to do. So yeah, we're down. Down means you were up there, and now you're down. And now what happens is that, as you just mentioned, one comes in contact with the spiritual master, and one comes in contact with the wonderful understandings and the things that we do, which is a chanting Hare Krishna mantra and dressing deities and chanting in groups. All those things help to bring him back, and that is his kickstart, and then it's no longer a kickstart. He's back on the road running and jumping as he once was before. So that's all I'm saying, is that for the general public, they're all down. Okay, so they first have to be awakened. And if you don't awaken them, then they just stay down. And even if a spiritual master talks to them, if they're not receptive, if they're not interested, if they have no desire, and if their desire is against what the spiritual master is saying, they're not going to make any advancement. Actually, they'll just either stay or make offenses and then get the result of those offenses. But once one has been awakened and they are inspired, and they feel, yes, this is something that makes sense, this is where I should be, and I'm far from that. And he then awakens up, and he begins to practice as you all the things that you mentioned, at which point it would be nice if they never fall down and never need a kickstart.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mother Kriya Shakti, I think, would be next. Thank you very much.
I was intrigued by that phrase that Srila Prabhupada used three times in the part that you read. He said the glaring reflection in darkness. And I was thinking about that. And, you know, in darkness, there is no reflection. You know, there's no, I mean, Prabhupada gives the analogy so many times that in the dark, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. So My conclusion was that he's referring to the darkest of ignorance, that in ignorance, the glaring reflection of darkness is ignorance. So what we're seeing in ignorance, it's a glaring reflection and it's enamoring, but it's not real. It has no substance.
Yep, thank you.
Oh, I also heard a quote yesterday in my news feed. Something came up with Bloomberg, and he said, one of the quotes that he said, if you want to become a better person, you have to make association with people that are better than you. Well, I thought, pretty cool.
Yep, like
that. If you want to become smarter, if you want to become better, he said, you hang out with people that are better and smarter than you.
Who said that? Who's? Oh, okay. Okay. Prema, did you want to say something? Did you have your hand up? No, okay. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, thank you very much. Gunter Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
One is mentioned there.